Well, good morning, everyone. We're in Acts chapter 3 in the communion class. And I thought the Lord gave me this example about the power of communion, what communion can do in our lives. Now, we know the story in chapter 3. This is Acts chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that enter into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked alms." Watch verse 4. "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." And we know the story. They ended up in jail over this. This is the same cold religion that has that teaches that Jesus quit healing, or healing went out with the apostles. This is where it stemmed from. And they put him in jail. And we'll skip over to save time in chapter 4. And now Peter explained who Jesus was. Now he pointed out that he was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because other people may have been named Jesus, but he said Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They knew who he was talking about. In verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1, "And they spake unto the people, the priest, and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." The enemy is upset. He wants to quench this fire. "And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So another 5,000 was added to the church over this. "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and the elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem, and they had set them in the midst. They asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole.'" And then he said, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. These are the same kind of things that happens when we spend time with the Lord. When we commune with him, we receive his thoughts. His mind becomes our mind. what's in his heart gets in our heart. We become a pattern of his type. And we can go out and do the same wonderful miracles. We can proclaim what we need to proclaim, and it will happen. And now, they couldn't say anything about it. And verse 14 says, "And beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against it." They lived according to God's word. Some ministers have cowered down under the pressure of religious teaching that's not right. And they cower down. And that influence resonates throughout the body. It breeds doubt, which is sin. And people don't have faith when they need it. But spending time with the Lord, we'll have the same abilities he has. All the obstacles and challenges that we face, he knows, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, and he'll show us how to conquer all those problems, all of them, till they don't exist anymore. And the question was asked, "Who do men say that I am?" And they answered that question. And then Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And when you say who Jesus is, when you proclaim his word, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And it all stems from relationship. They stayed in the presence of the Lord from the day that they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They didn't give up. They stayed in the presence of God. And they did the very same miracles that Jesus did. And when they saw the man standing there, healed, and the boldness of Peter, they could say nothing against it. And I remember years ago, we visited one of my cousins, and we would talk about what the Lord was saying, and other Christians were talking about what they were hearing in church, what the pastors were saying. But it was opposite. It was two different things. Some of the things the pastor said were great, but some things it was off track. It was some things were just off. And my cousin's wife said, "You know, we hear a lot of people talking about the word, and most people talk about what's going on at church, and y'all talk about what the Lord is saying." And this is when you spend time with him, your conversation will be like his. This is the power of communion. And when people believe, when they believe wrong, they use the word to back up whatever they're saying, but it's twisted. There's no life in it. The word of God is life. And sometimes people get tangled up with the Hebrew and Greek translations, but life got through the translation. It's life. And when we spend time with him, we speak the same life.
Amen. That's right.
And I'm going to have to cut it short. Some scriptures I've come across, I remember the way Jesus taught and the way people present the gospel, even and grace, sometimes it's two different things. Jesus said, "Many will come to me saying, 'Lord, Lord,' and they'll talk about the wonderful works that they did, the miracles even. And he'll say, 'I never knew you.'" And I was listening to, I started at 1 Timothy, and somewhere between Timothy and Thessalonians, it may have been even Hebrew, it said, "If the righteous scarcely be saved, where will the unrighteous and the sinner appear?" And I said, Jesus talked like that. When he told me that the rapture was imminent last November, he said, "Tell my people my return is imminent, and to be ready that they be not left." He was talking about his people. And then these scriptures exist, and they're important. What Jesus has to say is top shelf importance. It's right. And it shouldn't be left out. But when we walk according to his word, we go forward. And we can do all that's in his heart. It comes, all of this stems The knowledge of the truth stems from communion with him. And we'll end here. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And any comments before we...
No, I think you're right on. The whole thing is, the key word that you said really was walk. We got to walk, we got to talk, we got to study the word, you know, we got to follow the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. We got to do all these things. Mm-hmm. You know, he's talking about if the righteous scarcely be saved, mm-hmm. well, that means we got to really be working hard to work out our own salvation, mm-hmm. fear and trembling.
Yeah.
as they say, you know, our conversation, our life mm-hmm. ought to reflect the faith that we have, yeah. the grace that we receive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he said, you know, you can have faith, but if you don't have the works, your faith is dead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we need to show that our faith is alive. Mm-hmm. We need to get in the Word, yeah. do the Word, mm-hmm. and that be the end of it. It doesn't matter what kind of distractions come along.
Right.
Whatever comes against us, we're going to do the Word.
Yeah.
We're going to do what God said to.
And we'll defeat our distractions.
So you're right. That word walk, we got to walk out our yeah. salvation.
And do put to action what God is saying.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was talking about the works. I was telling him about that. And but it's when you look at him, you receive his love, and that love prepares you to want to do something. But through the love of God, we fulfill the law, and we won't get trapped in these devices of the enemy. Any more? Okay, 1 Corinthians 11:24. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." We have total victory in him. He gave us all his word to help us combat every situation that we can ever come across. And when we remember what he said, it's not a problem. And the word keeps us on the same page. So, you know, it's easy to deviate. But when we use what God gives us, we stay balanced. He gave us apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers to help us do all these things. And we stay in the guidance of the word, and we stay in guidance with him. All right. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the holy move of God that you're doing. Bless us to go forward in you only. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you.